The following media was brought to you by Tome of Huzzah!
Good morning, Vietnam! Do you know that? Yes, okay, sorry, good morning is what I'm trying to say. If you're listening to this in the evening, please turn it off. I probably have made that joke before, but I'm serious this time. Don't fucking listen to this in the evening, because you'll be too tired to pick up on the high quality humor that we spread throughout these episodes.
Okay, yeah.
Today, my name is Henry, but you can call me Harvick. I actually actively encourage that. You're listening to an episode of Globally Local FM, brought to you by Tome of Huzzah, and today we're visiting Botswana, Rudy, the capital city, Gaborone. What do you know about Botswana?
Animals. Not the people, just a lot of animals in there.
Alright, tread carefully. It's good to clarify that, though. I think Botswana is very well known for its safari, specifically. I'll just rattle off some of my Botswana facts, and then we'll get to the real intro, because I've got something prepared for Rudy. So, just some Botswana facts. It's a country in the south of Africa, just north of South Africa. It has one of the shortest borders in the world. Did you know that, Rudy? This is actually very interesting.
Shortest borders of the world?
Yes. Do you know what a tri-point is? Like a tri-point border?
No.
So it's a point where three countries border each other, right?
Oh, like that. Okay, yeah.
Yes. So that's obviously very common. And then you have the next step is like a quad point, I guess, where four countries border each other in one spot. Which is basically impossible, right? Because then they would have to all meet exactly at one corner.
Yeah.
So this, the northern border of Botswana with Zambia is basically the closest that it comes in the whole world to that, where four countries, they all meet at this one specific point. The only thing is it's not this one specific point. There's 150 meters in between, basically. That's that border.
Oh, wow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Like, it's not actually a point, but it's the closer it comes to it.
Yes. It's kind of not possible to have like an actual point where four country borders meet. So this is the closest that you can actually get, which is pretty interesting. I recommend you look it up on the map, people, if you haven't seen it before. It's pretty cool. Also, you can find a lot of videos about it online as well. So there you go. Something to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the richest countries in Africa, as in it's one of the more well-off countries in Africa, partly due to the diamond mining. It's very flat. And Rudy, most importantly, it's one of my favorite GeoGuessr countries.
Oh, why?
Just because I think it's cool. I think it has a lot of contextual things that you can pick up on to get a good region guess. Does that make sense?
To you, yes.
You just looked at me like I'm a fucking idiot.
I...
You just looked at me like I'm a fucking idiot.
Brother, I've been... If only now you picked up on that look. I don't know what to tell you, sir.
All right, well, Rudy, now we go on to the real intro. I've prepared something special for you today, something really special. This is Get to Know Rudy part. Oh. I don't know which part.
Every time, can I just say, you've done it so many times and I still never expect it. When you say it, like, it's like, oh, I prepared something for Rudy, and I'm like, oh, fuck, what is it going to be now? And then you say the thing, and I'm like, how did I not see this coming?
Yes, because that's basically all I ever prepare specifically for you. But today's going to be really good, Rudy, because I prepare so much, but it's all up to you. So for the next 2 minutes...
How about you once do this thing where you just go on by yourself? Get to know Rudy, but you would give all the answers.
Oh, that's pretty good, actually. All right, everybody, forget that
ask
you heard that.
Ask me for
that,
questions,
and then in
I'll
8 weeks,
give you questions.
Circle back.
I will give you the
that's
questions,
good.
And you write the answers. But you have to remind me because I'll forget you did this bit.
I'll try to remember that because I think that's a very fun idea. People, check back in about 8 weeks and we'll have this one on that episode. Okay. For now, Rudy, this is the prompt for you, okay?
Uh-huh.
For the next 2 minutes, I'm going to shut up and you have to talk about something that you're interested in.
Oh my God.
I have no topic to suggest. I've gotten one in case you have really, truly nothing to talk about, and it's speak to why Latvia is the best country in Europe. But you don't have to pick that. For the next 2 minutes, Rudy, starting in 5 seconds, I'm going to shut up, Rudy. The floor
it
is yours.
It just has to be, wait, it just has to be something I'd like to talk about. That's it.
Literally anything, but you have to monologue for 2 minutes. And go.
Okay, well, I think the most common thing that I talk about these days, which honestly, I cannot take slander anymore, because everybody thinks that I'm the D&D guy or whatever, but the way I see it is I am slowly but surely becoming way more, how do I say this, sort of confident in my skills of writing, and because what happened is, growing up, I've always been like the fantasy guy, as in like I like to read books, I like to play video games, and I always thought of these like cool scenarios, to me cool scenarios, when listening to music and stuff, and I don't know, writing in itself was always a thing of like, I don't know, like I'm not good enough to like write things and stuff like that. But then I, through a friend, tried Dungeons & Dragons and started watching streams, and I was like, oh my God, if I could somehow, because I am a very social person, if I could somehow make my world, the thing that I've been thinking about for years, be also co-written by my friends, and we together can enjoy this story, it's like the best thing ever. So I look at D&D as the medium that fits the best what I wanted to do, because it doesn't have to be D&D. But oh my God. So yeah, I'm just having a lot of fun. I started writing a lot. And I will say I think that the world building is what I enjoy the most. Making stories up and conjoining them in a logical sense. And then creating all these like epics. I really like that. I've also been reading more, like, I got back into fantasy books because of a good friend of mine, and honestly, I'm so grateful for that, because I've been on this dry ice for, like years of not reading books, and this kind of brought me back. But I will be honest, the enjoyment that I get, like, now I finally fully understand what it means to find a hobby that you really like, and it's really good for, how do I say it, the soul, like, mental state, because you do something productive, right? But you do something that you really like, and if it really fits you, then you can do it for hours.
That's 2 minutes up. I think we've heard enough of this. Sid, let's cut that out, because I thought that didn't go well, actually.
Wow!
No, okay, on
that's
a more real
fucked
note,
up.
Thanks for sharing that, Rudy. I thought that was actually the idea was a bit to put you on the spot, obviously, but I thought you actually had a great, great answer. If you wanted to finish that train of thought.
No, I know. I also could have talked about space. I could have talked about dinosaurs. That was the two other options. Actually,
yes,
about the sense
of
walking and why I like walking. I also thought of that.
I think that's cool. I like walking. But I don't like walking so much as I like just doing an adventure.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, my problem with walking is if I would always have to walk in the same spot, I wouldn't do it, because it wouldn't be as fun to me. But where I live now, I've got plenty of places to visit, so I always go walking on the weekend, because I've always got a new spot to find, basically. Mm. Rudy, I applaud you. I think D&D is a lot of fun, and is a great way to strengthen your friend group as well. So people, if you haven't tried, maybe you should. That's my
thank
PSA
you for that.
Day.
Thank you for that.
No problem. I mean, after all, I like D&D as well, so it's not a crazy endorsement in that sense. All right, Rudy. I reckon you go first with the news today.
Okay, well then, on to the news! You're trying to smoke us out, huh? Is my article name.
Mm-hmm.
Pests. Farmers hate them. For most in the world, the word pests implies insects that feed on crops or animals like wild boars that occasionally feed on the grain. But to the people of Botswana, this word implies an animal a bit bigger than what we are used to. An elephant. That's a big pest, you reckon?
Yeah.
So, Henry, here's a bit of an original thing that I actually prepared for you to put you on the spot. So there's a coincidence.
That's good.
How would you deal with an elephant if you had a farm and your pest would be an elephant?
I would perhaps... What would I do? So the idea is to keep him out, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, here's a good idea. You set up like a bunch of speakers around the property. And there's like a motion sensor as well. Whenever an elephant gets close, it just plays out the speakers. Hey, elephants are not welcome here. Get out of here right now. And then shocked and saddened, they would have to leave.
What if they don't? What's the plan B?
Plan B is there's a second motion sensor. If they get a bit closer, it plays a speaker like, all right, I'm sorry, but like, you really have to leave. This is my livelihood depends on this. Please don't fuck up my crops. Please.
Is there a plan C?
Plan C is tragically, there's just like a gun. If they cross the third motion sensor, they get shot in the leg. Like, at that point, it's not fucking kidding around anymore, right? They've been warned.
I like
they've
that
been
the second
one's
like, please leave, please leave. And the third one just jumps straight to get the fuck out of here, bitch.
Yeah, I mean, it's two stages of trying to peacefully communicate. And after the third one, it's clear they're not willing
to
listen.
You've heard of the five stages of grief. Now get ready of the three motion sensors in a row.
There's three stages of elephant defense.
All right. Well, that's pretty original. The good people of Botswana had come up with some rather good and somewhat cheap and alternative methods to what you just named around 2015. They called it the chili pepper method. Do you know what that is? Have you heard of this?
I happen to know, Rudy, because I actually have the exact same article.
Happened. Can I just say, this is the first time, I think, in 48 episodes it has actually happened.
Yes, it's pretty funny, actually, because I was like, do I, like, go with the real answer here on your prompt or not? But,
I don't know, well, then we can conjoin our forces.
That talking point. Yeah, okay,
We can join our forces. So tell our dear listeners, what is the chili pepper method?
So, they mix elephant shit, basically. With chili peppers, and then they burn that in the night, and that creates a stench so fucking horrible, as you can imagine, that the elephants are like, you know what, this shit is not worth it, and they just turn around and leave.
But then surely, because you already read the article, you know what the problem is, right?
Yes, the elephants started to get wise to the deterrence, and what I read was that they noticed that, like, when the wind blows a certain way, they have time to access the crops and fucking wreak havoc, basically.
So basically, these guys fucking tactic warfare them.
Yep.
And the elephants counterattacked.
Yep.
Because so these animals are rather smart. 10 years it took them, but they have figured out how to strategize, how to come together, and when the wind shifts, the elephants come. Just give it 10 more years, they're going to start passing gas for the winds to change. They're going to smoke the humans out of the farm.
With an elephant, it's kind of like, if he like gets to your farm, you're probably going to be well fucked because he's going to eat a ton of food, obviously. And like elephants, I believe they don't travel alone either, so.
Yeah, no, they don't really. But here's a question that I did not look up. What does an elephant eat? Like, this is extension question is, what kind of farms do they attack?
I believe they're herbivores, right?
They are herbivores. I mean, if they would be carnivores, it's so Jover for the rest of the savannah.
I think they would just eat, like, probably shit like lettuce. I think, I don't know. I could see, like, the stock image I thought of in my own head was lettuce, to be honest.
That could be. What have I seen elephants eat? Because they sometimes feed them in zoos and stuff. As I was a kid, I remember. Like, but what was it?
Probably
I think
like
I saw watermelons leaves. Getting fed them or something.
Really?
Oh, no, that was hippos. Never mind.
I mean, I feel like fruits make sense. They grow on trees. Elephants use their trunk to grab shit off of trees, no?
Yeah, it's like their fifth leg. No, honestly, you think I'm kidding, I mean, but it's honestly like it's a limb of its own.
Yeah. See, the elephant, they don't need a fucking long neck like the giraffe. They'll just use their nose to grab shit. The giraffe has to be like one of the most impractical animals, surely.
Giraffe. Well, now that you say it,
it's like I feel like an elephant is just easier.
I think we're talking of as if they had a choice.
I'm just saying.
No,
like,
I think as far as savanna animals go, I think the stupidest, unpractical animal is an ostrich.
Why?
Because they're birds that do not fly. They're too, like, they're huge, right?
Okay,
the only thing they're practical for is that they run fast. But even for running, they're not like the best shape, let's put it that way. And their survival instinct is, I don't know how true that is, but you know the stereotype where they just bury their head in the sand.
Yeah. Well, that's where the phrase comes from, right? Burying your head in the sand. Just pretend shit isn't there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're kind of like similar to what old dinosaurs would have been, though, so I'll give them that.
What?
Isn't it, like, didn't dinosaur or birds come from dinosaurs or some shit like that? Or
yes, birds are dinosaurs, that's true, but...
Well, there you go. Wouldn't an emu sort of kind of be closest?
Well, emu is not like an nowadays? Ostrich, first of all.
Sorry, ostrich. Well, emus are, like, similar to ostriches.
Just because they're the same build?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Are you the same as, I don't know, people who live in Africa? Or people who live in Asia, Henry?
In what sense?
In a general sense,
I would say yes.
Okay. I accept that answer.
Okay. Good then. Well, Rudy.
Well, anyway, so that was an article about elephant shit and elephants being like, you know what? You're not going to fight me with my own shit.
Yeah, you know what? Good on them. Yeah, elephants shouldn't be deterred by their own shit. They should be rolling around in it.
Then again, it's pretty, like, if somebody would take my shit, mix it with chili paste, and then just kind of throw it at me, I also would not want to kind of deal with them.
I would not want to deal with them purely because I somehow got my shit, and I think that's very strange. They should not have access to that, and the fact that they do means they are dangerous, and I need to get away.
Okay, right, next article.
I've got, so that was my first article. Here's my second one. In the same vein, Botswana threatens to send 10,000 elephants to Germany.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I knew this one. This one was the bit, like, I knew about the story, like, actually without looking it up, but I thought it's a bit too old, and I already had one elephants article, so my logic was I'm not going to bring another one, but it is, I remembered this, yeah.
Yes. I thought the elephant articles were the most fun, so I just picked this one as well.
They are. So, go on.
Germany suggested import limits on trophy animals. Sorry, that's basically like when a rich person goes hunting and they kill like an animal and then they cut their head off and then put them on like a wooden board and then like a plaque under that, like, that was me, and then import it back home and then put it on a wall, right? Does that make sense?
Disgusting.
I feel like impractical, mostly, with an elephant. That shit is, like, kind of huge.
My granddad is like that, and I fucking never understood it.
Yeah. It's not what I would do, but I guess I get why people would. Anyway, the president of Botswana said that imposing limits on things like that is not productive because it would only hurt Botswana, specifically because of the elephant population that was touched on previously. The elephant population has become very large due to conservation efforts, so trophy hunting helps keep the population in check. The wildlife minister also said that the money that they earn from going trophy hunting with these rich people is a good way to, like, increase conservation efforts for the entire country, like other species as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fair enough. Yeah, the elephant population has caused property damage, reduced crops, stuff like that. Trampling incidents, apparently this was a statistic I read in there, was 8 people die per year in Botswana from getting trampled by an elephant.
Wow.
That's 8 more than here, where I live, so, you know.
Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah.
Last thing Australia needs right now is extra elephant population.
Another invasive species. Anyway, the wildlife minister said or threatened to send 10,000 elephants to Germany so that the Germans can also experience what it's like to live in these conditions. Which I think is a pretty funny image. Just like a boat. Imagine like a container ship, but instead of like a ton of containers, they just have like fucking 10,000 elephants on there ready to release them into the harbor.
I love the statement of like, because to most, like, how do I say this? Europe does it with its own wildlife a lot. Like, for example, in Latvia, I know that they keep the boar, the wild boar population in check by allowing to hunt like specific quotas and stuff like that. And Europe does it all the time. But because the normal, like, how do I say this, like white people looking at, let's say, African animals are like, oh my God, these are all precious. We should conserve them and whatnot. Of course, Botswana knows better because they deal with their shit. And then I like the idea of like, oh, you think we don't have enough elements? Here's 10,000 of them. Have fun.
I mean, in that article, it said they also gave away 8,000 elephants to Angola, which is, I'm not directly neighboring, but in the nearby region.
Yeah.
And also hundreds to Mozambique, which, you know, that's good, I guess. Spreading the wealth.
Yeah, I mean, in the best possible way, they have elephants to spare.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's good that they have a lot of elephants, I think. It just means that they're doing a good job. But, you know, in the same way, like you're saying, it is important to keep populations in check because otherwise it's going to fuck up things for other animals and also things like crops. So there's a two-way street. Conserving well means that you also sometimes reduce the numbers.
Yep. I mean, it's like, it's also the same as like pruning a forest, you know, for healthy forest. Sometimes once in a while you have to like cut out parts of it.
Yep, that's true. Or you have to burn the bitch down.
Oh, okay. I think this is gonna, we have to go to that, but knowing what that is, because I actually read the script that was given to me before this episode, I think this is gonna be fully elephant themed episode, Henry.
Well, not to spoil my future segment, but it might be elephant related as well.
Yes!
All right. We'll rename this one to Elephant City, Botswana.
I'm so ready for that.
Hey, Jimmy. I think it's your turn now.
Wasn't it my turn like 2 days ago?
Well, yeah, but it was mine yesterday, so come on.
Fine. Oh my God. No, come on. Oh my God, they really went for it today.
Are you a hard-working elephant scavenging for food to feed the mouths of your family? And have you had enough of smelling excrement just to scrape by? Then it is prime time you joined the rebellion, brethren! It is time for the humans to get a taste of their own medicine. From now on, collect all droppings and garbage you see from these menaces of our green earth, and when the time comes, all at once we shall launch a full-on counterattack and bury them in their own filth. Why? Because we have had enough of this shit! Join the force today and help us teach these mongrels a lesson once and for all.
There you go. This will go down as the great shit fight in history.
Oy. Good times we're having here.
What can I say? I think it's just not nice, you know? You're going to a restaurant, you're like, oh, I can't wait to have dinner, and then there's just, like, shit outside. It's like, yeah, I don't want to go in anymore, you know? It's the equivalent of that.
You like, know Jesus. What? What an analogy! Can't wait to go to dinner! Oh, wait, there's shit outside!
Oh, that's how it
just
is, really.
Just the image! Of going to like the you fucking dress up with the family, you go to a restaurant, and in front of the door, just a huge pile of shit. Oh God, that took me out.
right, well, ready? Ready? Close your eyes and listen to this. As you stumble through the streets of the city, beaten down on by the heat of the sun, you have something to eat. You like to go out to the countryside more to see some of the wildlife. You talk to a guide who dissuades you. The countryside is not easy to traverse. All who do so must travel at their own risk due to recent incidents. Nonetheless, you decide to make your way out there. As you travel, you see some of the awesome animals that the country has to offer, like giraffes and lions. Suddenly, you get pulled into a trench. "Do you have any idea how dangerous it is out here?" a man asks you. You stumble, "I don't, what's going on?" When the man informs you that you have just crossed onto the front lines of the Elephant War. The elephants have had enough of being denied crops. They have managed to turn the shit chili, into guns. And now, they're fighting to take over the country. The only way to survive is to settle down in a trench, wait for an elephant to cross over you, and stab them in the stomach. This war is not going to be pretty, but that's just the way the cookie crumbles. So, if you'd like to fight a guerrilla war against elephants, then maybe Botswana can be your next destination.
Can I just say, love the fact that both of us read the same article and the only natural conclusion was elephant war? Ah, great minds think alike,
right?
Or the complete opposite, stupid ones.
That's kind of what the emu war was as well in Australia.
Yep. For those who don't know, we made an episode, I think, on Vagabond Dilemma. We talked about it extensively. But look up emu war of Australia.
Yes. Basically, they just, ate crops, and the Australians were like, "We'd rather you not." And then they tried to stop it, and then the emus just, kept overwhelming him. So it was just like, all right, that's it.
I just love the story of a guy with basically a machine gun at the back of his car. Like, three people there or something went to shoot these emus, and they, out of a flock of thousands, they killed, five? Because he could not hit for a shit. Like, the car that he was riding was, jumping up and down all the time because of the road, the outback. And the emus actually, they look big, but in reality, they're there's a lot of feather and not a lot of emu in there. So he kept missing, apparently, and then he just killed, five out of thousands.
Yeah, on the plus side, at least I have five nice roast chickens for the next, 3 weeks.
True. True. What if it's just a stick man in there? There's actually no meat to begin with.
I mean, there's meat on a chicken, so I'd have to imagine there's meat on an emu.
True. Well, anyways, ring up the trumpets and fire up the passport boots. We are about to go local up in this So, heights. You like them or you hate them?
I am indifferent.
Are you one of themses whose knees wobble a bit going up the stairs? One of themses who thinks that glass floors in high-rises should be banned? Well, lucky for you, Gaborone is completely flat. I did not see a single building higher than 3 stories, so you're good there. Next up, Le Bush. We all have heard of the African nightmare, with its endless hunger for unsuspecting or stupid enough victims. Americans who think they can fight a bear, I dare you to go next level and go into the bush of Gaborone. Let's see how you fare against the elephant dung mixed with chili pepper and the elephant itself. And then finally, if you want to live in the capital city of Botswana and feel like you are close to nature or not in the city center, choose any place in here you want. It all looks the same. I'm not kidding. Look up on Google Maps. The whole city looks like you live in a suburban neighborhood. That's just the whole city. So, bushes, elephants, and more bushes. You want it? Come claim it.
Sounds about right. Yeah, you've also not got that many cities to live in Botswana, because it's pretty sparse, so, you know. If you want to live in a big city, then Gaborone's your only chance. And even then, it's kind of like not that big city vibes. Anyway, pretty. My local business.
Yes.
Thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
Is Blue Cypress Bakery in the heart of Gaborone? Why, you ask? Thanks for asking again, Rudy. You're really hitting me with the inquisitive questions today. It's because I have made a GeoGuessr map called Bakeries of the World. It has been played 100 plus times, which is not that much, but I'll still take that as a crowning achievement. And this particular bakery has been a location in there for a while. So, my recommendation ultimately is go there, but also play my GeoGuessr map. People, Bakeries of the World. So, look that up, and there you go. You now have a cheat sheet.
What a plug.
Thank you.
My local business is I suggest you to go to the main mall. The only place where you can get all your main things. What a slogan. Literally on the top of the building.
That's good.
At I least guess elephant know. Shit as well.
Yeah, my local radio suggestion is Radio Yarona. They play self-described black and white bangers. I've got no clue what that means, to be honest.
The music comes in black and white, duh.
That's a very fair point. the vibe was pretty laid back. The music was quite unique. So, my suggestion, listen to them while closing your eyes and pretending to be fighting elephants in the countryside of Botswana.
Good. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Well, Jazzy Soul Radio Nata. For that jazz that smooths the soul with, IDK who Nata is, but them. So, yeah.
That's good. It's like Botswana's Pedro, maybe.
What would be Dutch Pedro?
Maybe a Jan.
A Jan? Okay, yeah, that's a good one. What about Australia?
Oh, that's a good one. I wonder what the most, like, what a very common name is down here.
Okay, actually, look it up whilst I do the outro. So, I'm kind of curious. What's the most common name in Australia? So, thank you so much for listening to Globally Local FM, my dear listeners. Episode 48, Gaborone, Botswana. I have been Rudy at 000, R-U-D-Y as 000 on Instagram. So 30 is Rudy's 30 on Instagram. And because Henry's still looking at his phone, I'm going to go on a limb here and say that you can find him looking at his phone for your name in it. You can also go get some love because he doesn't need more, but you can get a lot of him. Colossal Pengu on Twitch. There's a lot of love he gives out there. So just take it at this point. And then Henry, was the consensus?
No clear answer, but something like Kyle is a pretty good
That like, sounds like an Australian one. Yeah. It sounds
And apparently this is not really the answer to our prompt, but the most common boy's name in 2024 is Oliver. So
well, I could see that.
There you go.
I like a good Oliver.
If it were up to me, it would be Harvick. But, you know.
Yeah, okay. Next week, we are going to...
Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam.
Can Yay! I just say, when you did the intro for this episode, I was like, did he mix up episodes?
No, it's just because I couldn't come up with anything.
Okay, and then, let's... Let's find an elephant and tag along, I guess. Because there are also elephants in Vietnam. They're probably cousins.
Oh, that's interesting.
Should we just keep the whole podcast from now on about elephants? I think that could be. Yeah. Let's ask George in the backyard here. He's been kind of standing here waiting for the feedback of Dad. Hey, yo, George.